up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, how you doing this evening?
I'm all right, brother. How are you?
Not too bad.
That's good.
Next, we've got Pete. Pete, glad to have you with us this week.
Hey, I didn't have an Inside Out shirt to wear, but I went with the next best emotion I could think of.
Or you should have worn your shirt inside out.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Hey,
me on this one.
Wait, let me take it. No,
you help me on this one.
There's no help.
Yeah, we've proven that over the arc. So, guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some really fun shows coming up, including one coming up in a couple weeks that is a movie that has multiple disclaimers on Disney Plus. So
I don't know what that is.
Multiple disclaimers.
No, I bet you will. So anyway, this week we are looking at Inside Out 2. Sequel to Inside Out follows Riley. She is now 13. Puberty kicks in one day. And it's all about her new emotions. You've got anxiety. You've got
ego.
You've got ego. Embarrassment.
Embarrassed.
You've got ennui. So boredom. And what was the little blue
ego? Nostalgia.
Ego. No.
Envy.
No.
Envy.
No, I don't know.
Envy. Yes, it was envy.
Envy.
There's disgust and envy.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So, and it follows Riley that this all happens to happen as she's going off to a 3-day hockey camp that is kind of determines if she makes the high school team or not. And she finds out that her two best friends are been assigned to a different high school, which part of me says would not have been a surprise, but knowing how high school zoning works. And then it's all about how decisions she has to make and anxiety and all her new emotions taking over this weekend and trying to figure out who the new Riley is going to be now that she has turned 13 and has hit puberty. So that's about as simple as I can make it.
Yeah.
So Pete, I'm going to start with you about this. What made Joy's Day? What worked about the movie?
So I saw this in the theaters, rewatched it today before that we're recording the show. I really think they did a really good job of capturing the emotions of a teenager. Seeing this movie with my daughter, who is now 21, but like she really connected with this movie a bunch. More so I'm more connected with it as a father, seeing my kid go through it, but I think it really connected with her. And I think that's why the movie was so popular, was because I think it connected with a lot of people on the emotional side of it. Because I mean, you talked about the complexity of all the things that were going on, but the gist of it is basically that, you know, in the first movie, it was you gotta allow. Having sadness is good.
It's
for
okay.
You. That you need those other emotions. This one was more, if you let anxiety take over, you're going to just fall apart. That's what I felt like this was kind of saying. I mean, there was other things in there, but like anxiety took over and basically, you know, she ended up going in a direction where she had almost a mental breakdown and the other emotions had to come in and kind of pull her back from that, pull anxiety back from that. And you know, again, there was more to it than that. That's simplifying it. But, you know, I think that resonates with a lot of people, and especially younger people, because as you're growing up and going through those high school years and everything like that, there's so much anxiety. You know, anxiety never goes away in any of our lives, right? We all have it, but I think you get better at handling it as you get older. And I thought it really captured that well. And in addition, it was still funny. It wasn't just the emotion of it. It was still, there were still some very funny scenes in the movie. I liked the sarcasm where they shouted across the chasm, and it like went from being, you know, hey, could you give us a hand, to like, oh, can you give us a hand? And things like that. I thought were very funny.
Yes. So, yes to all of that.
So yeah. So I thought a lot of the stuff in this movie worked. So Steve, what about you?
I liked that it was a great continuation of From Inside Out 1 to this, because at the end of Inside Out 1, you saw the puberty button. So it went. So I guess took that and moved on. And then I liked it. I mean, working with kids who are going through puberty at the time, interesting to see their, oh, I see that reaction. I see that reaction. So for me, that's where I could sort of make the connection. I think like you, Pete, I didn't connect to this movie as much as I did the first one, but I could look at it and go, okay, yep, I see that. I see that. I like the humor. It was enjoyable. And like, I'm really torn, like where I would relate it to the first one. What about you, Kate?
Derek, are you, do you,
oh, I'm okay. Doing much
so I made no secret of the fact that I loved the first movie. As someone who has dealt with kind of unspoken mental health their whole life. And by unspoken, I mean, as a kid, and I'm sure all of you are just a little bit older than me, we didn't have words like anxiety. We didn't use words like that. You didn't use words like depression or bipolar. Like we just didn't, those words were not as applicable as they are today. We just didn't have the words for it. So
we used them, but they were always in a very negative context.
Yes. Yes. That. Yes. That. And there was such a stigma behind therapy and behind medications and stuff like that. It was such a stigma. So I've made no secret of that. I love these movies, and this movie absolutely follows up. Much like Steve, even though I know anxiety deeply and intimately, I do think I actually did resonate with the first one more. However, and I actually have a little bit of, I wrote a list of all the things because I didn't want to forget anything. One of my favorite parts is when puberty shows up and it's a wrecking ball that comes in and just like instantly out of nowhere. And at least for a girl, that is 100% how it feels. And then all of a sudden there's all these emotions and feelings and things that you don't know, and none of it makes sense. And yeah, so I just love that they use the wrecking ball instead of having them all bust through a door. Like, and then, and this Joy is like, can you clean this up? And he's like, not our job, or something like that. Just so good.
As a parent of a girl, I also related.
Yes. I literally made a list. Okay. So one thing that was unspoken that I thought was so good. So good. One thing that you will learn if you've been in therapy or if you've ever had anxiety or panic attacks, one thing that they will tell you to do is called grounding. And what grounding is when you're feeling that panic or that anxiety, they'll say, what can you see? What can you hear? Tell me what you can hear. Tell me what you can see. Tell me what you can feel. Tell me what you can smell. And that is what Riley does when she's having that panic attack in the booth. You see her start to touch the seat she's sitting on, and you see her close her eyes, and she's listening, and she can hear the skates, and she opens her eyes and she can see her skates. That is grounding. And I just sat there with my jaw on the floor when they showed that, because I was like, oh my God, that is grounding. That is so, so good.
And I can also say I've done a lot of research on different types of therapies, just because I think the human brain is so, so interesting. And things that I've talked with therapists before is exactly how they showed dealing with anxiety and dealing with any emotion, that sometimes that emotion doesn't want to be ignored, but it's blown out of proportion. And we're just going to have you go sit in this chair for a minute. You're still here. You're still a part of the group, but we're just going to have you sit right here. That's relaxed. That's nice, right? You can still see everything. I cannot remember. There is a specific type of therapy that is that type. And I cannot for the life of it. I'll figure it out by the end of the episode. I know I'm talking for a long time, but this, it just did such a good job of putting into words and putting into physical something. What's the word I want? Not tangible.
Images.
Yeah, thank you. Putting into what you can see of, this is what this feels like. This is what this is like when you are having a panic or an anxiety attack. It feels like everything is spinning out of control and you can't find joy. You can't find sadness. You can't find all of the other things because everything is just spinning. So just the way that they made that, so good. And then one of the other things I loved is when they're sitting in the car with her two best friends and she goes, "What did that look mean?" and it zooms in and it zooms into right here. Like, right. And they're like, and it's just like, and it's like, oh, I know what that means. Like, I'm fairly certain that is a girl thing. I'm fairly certain you boys don't think about that much, but that is absolutely a girl thing. Where like, if a girl even just like turns her head weird, it's like, why'd you do that? What, okay, what are you actually thinking? Are you actually my friend?
It's a girl thing.
It's a girl thing.
Working with preteen girls.
Yeah.
It's wild. So I will let, sorry, Derek, if I took anything you were going to say. I appreciate this movie.
I have one more thing I want to add at the end, but I want to let Derek go.
Oh, thank you. I will preface honest, the anxiety attack was very possibly my favorite part of this movie. Just because people who don't have high anxiety don't get what that feels like.
Yes, agreed.
You literally can't breathe. You can't focus on anything. And it's all, or usually, complete worst case scenarios.
Yes.
Complete worst case scenarios. And I'm never going to be good enough is totally anxiety taking over. And that's not embarrassment. And that's not really even depression. That's anxiety. That's the anxiety of, I have to live up. I need friends. Because let's face it, no matter what we think, everybody needs at least some friends.
I'm glad I have you, friends.
Oh, well, thank you. And so
humans are at their core social animals. So
yeah, very, very much. Some of us more than others, but
right
at our core, humans are not designed to be alone.
Right.
Now it could be with one other person. It could be with 100 other people, but humans right. are not programmed to be alone. So, which is honestly part of the reason monogamy has taken hold in human culture. Is because then you are bound to one other person that has to be with you. Quote, has to be. But so love you, dear. But sometimes you're stuck with them too. So
yeah.
That was probably my favorite part. I loved some of the tiny things like the Apple 1984 commercial throwback when anxiety was, you know, on the screen and she runs up and throws that into and breaks the screen. That's directly out of the Apple 1984 commercial.
Really?
Yeah. Have you never?
I don't know. It's
a famous commercial.
Kids. I'll have to watch it. Okay. I'll look it up. I'm sure I've seen it.
Directed by
Steven Spielberg.
Scott.
Uh-uh. Ridley Scott. But yeah, so I mean, this definitely had some good moments in it. Now, that being,
I got one more thing I want to mention. You know, hockey was a part of the first movie too, but probably more of a part of this one. I tried to pay a little more attention to the details this time, and I noticed like they clearly had people involved that understood how people skate and how you play hockey and everything like that, because it was very accurate to hockey. It wasn't just people skating around.
Yeah.
Like they really took the time. I mean, similar to the fact that they paid attention to like emotions and psychology and things like that. They also paid attention to hockey. So that was very interesting. So
yeah.
Well done.
Now, that being said, Steve, I'm going to start with you on this one. What set off anger about the movie?
So I wouldn't say anger, but I have some love-hate things with this, and I can't decide where I go. One of them is I feel like there was so many characters this time that for me, I had a hard time like connecting with any of them. So there's lots of characters. I have a really love-hate thing with Pouchy. and I think
Toodles.
Pouchy and I think
Toodles from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
I think I get it.
I think part of it is the animation style. It really like threw me the first time I saw it.
Have you seen Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, Kate?
No. I understand. I know Toodles. Yeah. Do I know Toodles? Get out of here.
Legit question.
Anyway, Steve, we'll get to me. Steve, you keep going.
I guess the animation threw me, and I know they're trying to play off a little bit of like Blue's Clues. It's a love hate thing, but it did make me chuckle on some parts.
Okay.
So it's like that love hate thing. And I guess it did not have for me as emotional punch as the first one. And I'm really trying to think why that is, because I think the first one, it's sort of that childhood. And as you get older, you could really sort of connect to the difference of being an adult, like we were talking earlier, being an adult. But I also see it a lot with my students. I have those students who are sort of ready or still in childhood, and the ones that are rushing out of childhood. So for me, that really hit more home than this one. I got this one, but maybe it's because I don't want to go back and live that experience anymore.
That's fair.
Fair. Right? Yeah, no middle school again for me.
No. I still think it was a good story. I could see where people connected to it. I think they did a nice job there. And I'm really just getting, I feel like I'm nitpicking things.
Okay. For me, I have a hard time believing all of that drama happened in 1 3-day period and it was all resolved for middle school girls. There's no way that was all resolved within three days.
I'd say yes, because they could turn around the next day, they're friends. Next moment, they're enemies. So,
but they didn't have time to rally the troops like middle school girls do.
That's true.
So, I thought the whole journey to get to the back of her brain took too long. I get it. Anxiety's making these poor decisions. Anxiety's doing this and that. We still have to make our way to the back of the brain. This is stopping us from getting to the back of the brain, like the train derailed is in the first one, the tube derailed in this one. That was a one-trick pony that they played too often to me.
I can see that.
Also, to me, I understand kind of why, but you're telling me she's got all this anxiety and that great big pimple on her chin caused none of it?
That's also fair.
I'm just saying, all these high schoolers with perfect skin and she's got this great big pimple on her chin and anxiety never mentions that at all. I know I teach 14-year-olds. So, and I have taught 13-year-olds. 13-year-olds, for those of you not sure, 13-year-olds are usually, kids usually turn 13 in seventh grade, 14 in eighth grade for most kids. So when I get them as freshmen, most of them are 14 going on 15, which is not a nice song in real life for any musical. Yeah, that it got long. The one trick pony of I didn't see as big of change in characters in this one as I did in the first one. I don't really feel like any of the motions really learned much, to be perfectly honest. Anxiety, maybe a little bit. I will say I did, one thing I forgot to mention that I did like is that the statement, you can't make her be who you want her to be. How she has to be it for herself. I thought that could have actually been dive into further. That could have taken an extra 2 minutes of anxiety and joy arguing about why she needs to be a certain way. And then, heck, embarrassment coming in and saying, you guys, neither of those is going to work. We have to all work together. So embarrassment saying something would have been that change of that character development. Most of the characters were very flat in this. Flat versus dynamic, as far as most of the characters did not really change. Even Riley, there was no, felt like there was very little, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like, it almost felt like she wasn't really in charge of her own decisions that she was making, which I know is the whole idea behind it. But in the first one, it felt like she actually kind of told the emotions what she wanted to feel based on how she was acting. I know, that's kind of the thought I got. So anyway, Kate, what didn't work for you? I've been talking too long, so.
No, you're good. I wanted more embarrassment.
Especially as a middle school girl.
Yeah. I always struggled a little bit because I feel like fear and anxiety
are kind of the same thing. Yeah.
Two of the same thing. Like when the first movie came out, I wanted to be like, that's not fear, that's anxiety. It's not fear.
Yeah.
So those two characters are very, very similar. But I wanted more embarrassment. Like
fear walks out and I say, hi, I'm Fear's cousin, Anxiety. I'm walking and I'm now here.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. I also didn't understand. Go ahead.
They tried to explain early on. They said fear is what's in front of you and anxiety is potential for the future.
Which is true.
But I agree that in the first movie, a lot of what fear was doing was anxiety.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't fully understand fear having a parachute.
Or becoming a parachute.
Because he's always prepared, yeah.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. But I just wanted more embarrassment. That moment where Joy goes in to shake his hand and he goes into fist bump and they're like, was brilliant.
Oh, and the hood thing.
Oh, and the hood thing. Brilliant. Like, just.
I bet Derek probably could talk about it. The HUD thing.
Yeah, I'll just say yes and leave it there.
Just, that was so genius. And as someone who was a middle school girl, embarrassment, you feel it all the time. Because it's like, oh my God, do I smell? Oh, I probably smell. Oh my God, I'm embarrassed. Oh my God, I just looked at this person wrong. Do they think I looked at, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. Like,
and
it just,
way, middle it's school like, girls and guys do smell.
Yeah. But that's like the the go-to emotion is embarrassment, which then spurs on anxiety. It's like those two work very hand in hand, especially in middle school. So I wanted to see more embarrassment. I also felt like embarrassment was a little tiny bit of the comic relief. A little bit in that moment, like that made me laugh out loud because it was like, that's real. Other than that, Derek, was it you who just said that you wish that they would have dove deeper into Riley isn't who you think she should be, or that sentence that they said. Was that, you who said that?
The whole, you can't make Riley be that way, or right, you can't make Riley be who you want her to
who
be.
Who you want her to be. I hadn't been able to put the right words to it. And you're totally right. You were able to say it the way I couldn't. I wish that they would have dove into that a little bit more. That they could have talked and had anxiety push back. Because I think if anyone on this platoon, any of us who have anxiety knows that anxiety doesn't give up just like that. Like, anxiety's like, no, let me list all of the ways. Let me list every single way that this is going to explode into a massive explosion. So I do wish that there had been a little bit more dialogue there. I really, and you know what? I agree. Derek, I think I agree with you again that the whole journey, through the brain, while yes, I understand that they went after Riley's self, it was long and it was repetitive. I didn't understand the point of the other animation, Bloogie, what was it called?
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't called necessarily anything, just because it was kind of a combination of like supposed to be kind of Dora and Blue, like Bluey from Blue.
Wasn't it Bloopy?
Bloopy? I don't know.
Yeah, I would have rather they...
It was supposed to be like Dora or... Yeah, there's... I mean, there were all those in the... When my daughter was little, and you mentioned Toodles, that was another. There were all these shows where like the characters would stop and talk to...
Oh, Blue's Clues.
Right, Blue's Clues did it too. And so the first time I saw this, I found that absolutely hilarious, because that show drove me quite crazy, because my daughter, like, the idea was the kids were supposed to like talk to the screen. My daughter never did. She just sat there whenever those, and I always thought, what's in her head that this character is just like, so what do you think?
Nope. I screamed. I pointed. I would go up and touch the TV screen.
I can see that.
But I would have rather they find a way to bring Bing Bong back.
I'm actually glad they didn't.
Glad they did not. I am
really so glad
they did not.
Yeah.
If they bring him back, that ruins his sacrifice in the first one.
Yeah.
It makes the point.
That's true.
Okay. Did you see his cameo though?
I missed his cameo. When did he have a cameo?
So when they're all sleeping before puberty hits, Joy has a little Bing Bong on her shelf.
Of course.
So if you go back and look, okay. there's a little like stuffed Bing Bong there on the shelf there.
I really, yes, there are things I would have done a little bit differently. Like, I can remember at one point watching it, anxiety gets mean. Like, at one point, anxiety gets really mean. And I was like, anxiety's not mean. And then I was thinking about it and I was like, actually, anxiety is really mean.
Yes.
Well, anxiety took over, and anxiety does take over.
It does. And so the more that I want to like things that made me go, the more I think about it, I'm like, no, that's really accurate. This movie and the first one, I know I've said this as through we watch was, I think are so, so important for kids, especially elementary school and middle school to watch. It's so important, not because it's the greatest Pixar movie. Is this Pixar?
Yes.
Not because it's the greatest Pixar movie, not because it's the most well done, well created, well scripted movie, but the content is so important. This, in my opinion, this might be one of the most important movies that Disney has created, because it is starting a conversation that is so important. So. There you go.
Yeah. And even, you know, again, my daughter's 21 and I still think it helped even her.
Yeah.
Who, even though she's not going through that period anymore, she still has anxiety and she still has embarrassment and all those things. And and I'm neglecting, if I don't mention it, that her favorite scene in the movie, because she talked about it all the time, was the scene that Derek mentioned where anxiety is getting all the character, all the people to draw things on the piece of paper, because my daughter is an animation student and she was like, that's just like our classroom.
Oh, really? Oh, I love the way your daughter's brain works. I love that.
So she loved that scene because she was like, that's like what we do.
I love that.
Animators all scribbling ideas. But I agree with you all with what's the flaw of this film. And I think what it is, and for the plot, it's pretty much the same plot as the first film. That's the problem with it. And they did enough unique things that you don't really mind it that much that it is the same, but it's still the same. And so that, I think that's why, like Derek says, it drags at times, because it's like, now they're getting through this obstacle and they have to go around this. And that's like, those same things happened in the first movie, and yes, there were different bits to it, but it did feel very derivative at times of the first movie. Not enough to make it a bad movie, because sometimes you get that effect with sequels that it's like, oh my God, I'm watching the same movie again. And I think they changed enough that it overcame that for the most part, but it still was very repetitive of the first movie. And I also agree with, I think both Steve and Derek said it, too many characters. So you didn't really,
yes,
some of the characters were very flat and almost, you know, you didn't need so many characters, but they had to have the original five. And then they probably didn't want to just bring in anxiety, so they brought in these other ones. And like, other than anxiety, the other ones, and maybe embarrassment, but like ennui and envy were like,
envy could have gone away. Envy could have completely gone away.
Both of them could have gone away.
Yeah,
both of them.
I mean, ennui is that a major emotion even for a teenager? And I don't know. The whole
"it was fine" is not ennui.
Yeah,
like where she says, "Oh, it was fine." Like the when she answers at the end, right. "Oh, it was fine." That's not ennui.
Yeah,
it just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah,
no.
Is ennui the same thing as depression?
No, boredom. I don't care.
Ennui is like indifference. It's not really an emotion. I mean, it is an emotion, but as I said, so to me, it was kind of like they knew they wanted to do anxiety, and they needed some other ones there, and so they just kind of threw a couple in. Though I did like the couple times nostalgia showed up, because like another thing with my daughter, she like hit nostalgia at like 19 or 20. And her saying would be, I just got the nostalgia.
Aww.
Well, I can speak to that, because actually there we had a news little thing here in Seattle, is they actually reached out to teenage girls to ask them about emotions. And a girl from Seattle is the one who came up with the idea for nostalgia. So asked them what emotions would they talk about. And that's, so the creators took some of those ideas. So I'm assuming on We was a sort of the same thing. Probably. Someone mentioned it and they decided to put it into the movie. So,
yeah. But again, nostalgia is not an emotion.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, I guess if they're saying it's a feeling, if you're going with feelings.
Okay. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Now, let's say, because this is the movie that has made the eighth most money ever, they come up with an Inside Out 3, because if they're going to do a Frozen 3 and 4, you know, there's at least, and Toy Story 5, and complete lack of new ideas, you know there's going to be an Inside Out 3 at some point. So, what emotions would be added in the sequel? And I have one. They're going to have to skip until they can't do like 16, 17, 18. Because the main emotion they would need would be lust.
I was thinking that like they can't age her up too much for the same reason, because
I mean, and the whole, you know, the Mount Crushmore for a 13-year-old girl would have been so much bigger. but let's not even talk about if they had done a 13-year-old boy. So
oh God.
But Now, my question, and so lust would be the one for me. My question is this. In dad's brain, they're all males. In mom's brain, they're all females. At what point does anger and fear get replaced? Because to stay true to universe,
after you turn 21,
have to get replaced at some point.
Well, and we should point out that like her friends were all, had all female.
Yes. Now I do know that back off some of the gay.
Well, they were concerned about. Yeah, I heard that too. That they were concerned about
her crush on the other girl.
It appearing as a crush, right? As the, yes. As that they liked each other in that way. I don't think it came across that way in any way. You know, right. I don't know what they may or may not have removed. But I think I don't know. I don't think they need to go there. But I don't. You're right. I mean, as she gets older, that's where you would naturally go. But I don't know that. I don't know that that's where Disney is going to go. In, you know, and certainly not with lust.
And then there's a continuity issue of if Riley has both. If Lewis Black stays in Riley's brain,
right?
Which oh my gosh, I would hate to have Lewis Black in my brain. But if that's the case. Yeah. So anyway, my vote would be if there's a sequel, it's got to have something to do with sex because and that's where Disney's going to run into a problem.
Yeah.
So
I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't think they're
it's so funny. Right. Here's what's hilarious is my brain did not go there at all.
Oh, probably not. Again, I'm a guy. So, you know,
my brain did not. My brain went to. Depression. And how that looks different on everyone, how that depression looks different. But other than, I would maybe do, but see, comparison isn't an emotion. It's something our emotions do is we compare ourselves to others. So maybe you could have her go through a heartbreak. Heartbreak is the absolute worst ever.
But then would that just pull in sadness or would you have a completely new?
I
don't really want them to, because there's already nine
characters.
Yeah, I because there's already nine. I don't want more characters.
Well, OK. And let's just get kind of into the nitty gritty of it for just a second. When you think about it, these complex emotions. So let's talk about like. Comparison isn't an emotion. It is disgust. It's anxiety.
Embarrassment.
It's fear. It's anger. It's all of those emotions in one. So it would be kind of cool if all of these emotions were like yelling at each other. And then all of a sudden, each of them, like a piece of each of them came out and created something. Like if they were all, you know what I mean? Because even depression is a little bit of the ennui. It's anxiety. It's sadness. It's lack of joy. It's overwhelm. It's things. A lot of these complex, if we add in other emotions, it's just the emotions we already have mixed together. So I think you're right that there's already kind of just like how fear and anxiety, it's like, those are very hand in hand. So I don't know. I don't know if we need more emotions. We just need to go a little bit deeper on the emotions that we have. If that makes sense. Pete,
now, again, it's Disney. They're not going to do lust.
Right.
I understand that. But, I understand that.
But would they do love? Like would they make it more of a, you know, a Disney-fied version of falling for somebody and, you know, having those
puppy love,
right?
And be a puppy character.
Right. Yeah. Because I mean, is love a separate emotion from
joy?
Joy.
Or is it something joy and anxiety have to work out together?
Right. Well, that's, I think that's what Kate was trying to capture, is does it come from the other characters or something like that? I don't know how you handle that, because, you know, they did have the short Riley's first date there with the boy, and obviously they kept that very G-rated.
Which, where does that fit into this timeline then?
It's between the two.
But there is no between the two, because the button shows up at the end of the first one, at the beginning of the second one. There's no between the two.
Yeah, there is. They hadn't, the button hadn't, the siren hadn't gone off yet. It was ready to go off, but it hadn't gone off. So, because you got to remember, she was 12 in the first, she had turned 12 in the first movie, and she turned 13 in this one. She made these two new friends, so she would obviously
a little while.
So okay. I think there's at least a year, if not 2 years, in between these two movies. Because
I had looked at it as, I had missed the fact that they were not shocked by the button being there. They were shocked by the alarm actually going off.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause you're right. The last movie, at the end of it, they're like, oh, what's this for? Oh, we don't have to worry about that. Right. So, yeah. So in this one, it actually, like, you know, they probably were wondering why it was there for a long time. It's like, well, I guess, I don't know. But, yeah, it's, I mean, it seems very likely we're getting another one. Steve, what do you think? Is there an emotion you think? Well,
the two that came up, when it sort of maybe follows with Derek, but it was being cheeky or grouchy. Because,
ooh, grouchy.
Grouchy, I think, would be a good one, because I guess working with preteens, there's times of like, you need to go that way.
Okay. How about this one? Compassion.
I like that one.
That's one later in her teenage years into her 20s that she would start, that could start develop. Because the one that was short, I'm sure was done that way, because as she gets older, the emotion will grow. Is the whole idea behind why that emotion was so short.
Because joy and compassion are empathy.
Right.
Joy and compassion are two very different things.
Hugely.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point, Derek. Yeah.
And it's something that most teenagers don't feel.
But it says something about these movies, and it's what Kate kind of captured, that like these movies really, really, when done well, which these two have been, can really help kids with learning about their emotions and how to, you know, face their emotions and things like that. And I think, you know, so I think if they do another one, that's why I'm saying it's not going to be something like Lust or something like that, because I think they're making these movies for the, you know, 8 to 12 year old age range. They're not making these movies for 15 year olds. So
I do feel like there's going to be another one, kind of like how Toy Story 3 really wrapped up the Toy Story series, and then they made 4 and whatever. I do feel like there's going to be a 3. I don't know how good it's going to be.
Okay, but 3 could be then her going off to college.
That's totally what it should be.
Because it could build on it.
Or her, here it is. Her having a kid and the kid's emotion, her trying to impart her emotions and her feelings on.
I think it's too far of a jump. I think that's too far of a jump.
Yeah, I think it's more what you said, which would be like, maybe we, because again, I think what you do, if you do it, is you have, you have her falling for a boy and everything like that, but you put it in more of a PG version where it's more about being in love and, you know, being in a relationship and then having that relationship end or whatever, then it would be about, I gotta jump his bones.
Or you go super Disney and Pixar. One of her parents dies.
No, don't do. Please don't.
Oh, God. I'm
sorry. Dad is.
That would be on brand, though.
My mom's going to die.
I mean, that would be on brand.
That would
be. And then, I mean, then you deal with the emotion of loss.
That would be so on brand.
Yeah. I mean,
looking back, I think I counted up once. There are it's definitely less than five male, like father and mother families in the Disney canon.
Does that include Pixar?
Yes. The only one in Pixar is The Incredibles.
Well, and this.
Well, and this.
Oh my God, they're going to kill off Mr. Incredible in the.
And then you've got Pongo and Perdita.
You got Merida.
Right.
Oh, that's true. Merida has both parents.
Merida, Pongo and Perdita.
This.
Right. That's part of the four.
Well,
did she have both of her parents in the movie Red?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's five. That's five. That's it. There's going to be a great big raccoon show up in this.
Tangled had both her parents.
Who?
Tangled lady. I forget her name. Rapunzel.
That's what. Oh, no.
Rapunzel.
Okay. Hansi. I don't really count that as having both her parents.
Just yeah, I don't either.
Most of the movie, she didn't.
Right, but they weren't dead.
She but they were not
united with them.
So anyway, as we do when we watch movies and shows, we give this Cups of Pixie Dust out of five. And guys, this is our 150th thing we have ever rated.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
To give you comparisons, Kate, you gave the original a 3.5.
Okay.
Kate, you gave the original a 4. Steve, you gave it a 3, and I gave it a 2.
Okay. So,
4. Inside Out 2. Kate, what's your rating?
So, I want to give this a 3. However, I'm going to give it a 3.5. But the reason I am giving it a 3.5 is I gave the first one a 3.5 because it was really freaking good. I'm giving this one a 3.5 because this is important. I think that the content is important. So I want to give it a 3, but I'm going to give it a 3.5. Go ahead.
So I gave the first one a 4. I think this one is just a slight step down because of a little bit of the repetitiveness of it. I still enjoyed it a lot. So I'm giving it a 3.5. Steve?
I'm giving it a 3, but if I had to rank these, I'd give Inside Out 1, like the edge up, and then this one, because I gave the first one a 3. It's still a 3, but if I had to order those, this one would be slightly behind.
Yep.
Okay. And I, much for the same reasons Kate gave hers a 3.5, I'm going to give this a 3, to be perfectly honest. 3 is usually at the point for me where I say I would definitely go watch this again. I'm not sure I'm there with this, but I think with the connections it can make to kids that don't know how to understand what they're feeling, especially those who deal with the anxiety. As someone who has dealt with anxiety for 40 plus years, even when I was, and see, that's where the original, if they're going to do anxiety is not a teenage thing. Anxiety is a person thing. But to me, I would watch, mainly because I would watch the last 10 minutes of this one before I would watch the last 10 minutes of the original. So that's why I would give this actually a higher rating than the original Inside Out. So, Kate, we do have some Disney Plus news this week. What have we got?
Just a little bit. We have one Disney Plus news. All of the Indiana Jones films, except for Dial of Destiny, have been removed from Disney Plus, despite rumors of this being due to disappointment and anger by Lucasfilm over the most recent movie. The reality is that Paramount owns the rights to the first four movies, and they were on Disney Plus only through a special agreement around the release of Dial of Destiny.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand is Disney's not dropping this because they had a choice. Disney's not dropping this because Lucasfilms was mad. Paramount wants them back.
Yeah.
And so Disney had him for 2 years or a year and a half or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So they get stuck with the I don't know. Did we decide if that one was as bad as Space Aliens?
No, it was not as bad.
It was not as bad as as four. No.
So, but anyway,
it wasn't great, but
ends up with one of the two not great ones.
Yeah.
So next week we are, as we've been doing lately, we typically for Marvel shows, we typically do a beginning, a middle, and then a season wrap up. So next week is the Agatha All Along mid-season review. For us, that will mean the first five episodes. I will admit I watched the first two for our premiere episode. I have not watched any of the others. So that's something I've got to do. I have heard a little bit of rumbling, but I've kind of intentionally tried to stay away from.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm glad you cheered for me having to stay away from stuff. So,
that was a cat.
I figured. I've heard some rumblings, but I have intentionally not really looked at any of the spoilers for episodes 3, 4, or 5, just because I don't want that to determine whether or not I like the show, to be perfectly honest. Because I will admit, right after episodes 1 and 2, I was right. I'm right on that edge. So
I've seen the third episode and it was my favorite of the three so far. So I'll make that comment, but I've not seen 4 and 5 isn't out yet, but I'm going to watch them on the plane going out to visit Steve.
How many have you seen?
Wrong direction.
Okay. How
many? I've seen all 4.
I've only seen the first 2 or 3.
Okay. So all right. Guys, if you have suggestions on what we should watch, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us a message on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you watched any of our old shows and want to comment on it, definitely, please do. We see all of those too. We will respond to any kind of comments you make, good, bad, or indifferent. Well, probably not the indifferent ones, but because we just don't care. Oh, wait, that's you not caring. Wait, that's on we. So, no, anyway, as we have new episodes every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services for Kate, Pete, and Steve. Gina, we miss you. We wish you were back soon.
I know.
We will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.